but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
This new version of the Arena Football League has not been without problems. The Oregon Black Bears were scheduled to play their football game last Saturday. It didn't come together. Same thing happened in Billings, Montana, as the Billings Outlaw and the Rapid City Marshals were supposed to play on Saturday. That game was canceled an hour before kickoff when the Rapid City players refused to come out of the locker room. They were not paid for the game. The Outlaws were already on the field. There have been some concerns about facilities. There have been a lot of red flags about the league structure. It's just been messy. We talked about it early in the show. Our next guest, longtime Salem sports announcer for three decades, former radio voice of Willamette football and basketball for 25-plus years, and a two-game veteran of the Arena Football League. I love this. Mike Gallagher is with us to talk about his experience from KYKN Sports in Salem. Mike, thanks for making time.
You bet. I think you can still see me riding off on my horse into the sunset, but not the league.
Give us an idea, because, you know, on one hand, I feel bad for the players, because this is not the fault of the players if the structure of the league is wobbling, but tell us what it's been like, because you've called two Black Bears games this year, and what is what has that experience been like for you?
Well, first, it was nice to be asked to do it because we've been doing so much sports down here. But when the Black Bears and the radio station met, I wasn't necessarily a part of it, but they said, if you've got someone that's done college sports, we want him. So here I am. We got set up, and I think the very first thing is, I always say, you never get a second chance to make a good first impression. And that was not made, with no disrespect. By the way, Coach Dutch Jones is one of the hardest working men maybe in the AFL, the station out of Portland. He's doing everything with no support. I'm not going to make excuses for him because I don't work for him, but I can tell you that he's doing more than he has time for. But they never had a roster. They didn't have a roster with numbers. They didn't have the opposing team's roster. And if it hadn't been for an intern and me on some fast legs, we wouldn't have had a starting lineup or a roster on game one or game two. And then you have the problems inside the pavilion at the state fair. I would say the pavilion is not necessarily made for arena football. However, it did house three games, including a preseason game. Did fine, but it wasn't quite up to snuff when it came to what the AFL wants, and I see why. And then there's no PR. No one's pushing out stats. No one's pushing out information. And there's very little callback to me unless I scream loudly, well, I want to be a good player. So I said, I know how to go out and vacuum this information up. And there I was. But it's too bad, John, because these young men are very good football players. Are they all NFL players? Probably not. Are they very good and athletes and they work hard at their craft? Every time I saw them at practice, they did. I thought they were great young men.
Biggest red flag for you, I mean, the fact that you don't have rosters, it's the little things, right? Nobody's right. Pushing PR. I know when it started, I was surprised it was happening. I had somebody reach out to me, a listener, and say, hey, are you tuned into this? And I had to go look it up, and I was like, gosh, first calls in state when they're kind of promoting this to media, like, shouldn't I have gotten an email or something on this? And nothing. And so what were the red flags for you initially?
Initially, the red flags for me was, I saw Nick Krupke's report before on the pregame on Channel 12, but they have no media sports information director, the SID type setup. There's nobody taking care of stats, team information. That was one flag. And the other one was no one put anything up on the website for 2 weeks. It was just, the first thing they put up after the season started was they reduced the price of the tickets. There was never a game and still isn't a game result. And I have to go to Facebook forums to find out results and maybe some facts about the game. I could get nothing out of anyone from that team or the teams that they were opposing.
I'm thinking about, you know, what happens next. And Mike Gallagher is with us, KYKN Sports in Salem. He's been covering sports in the state for 3 decades. And Mike, what's the next step? Is this league about to collapse? Are there going to be games next week? Do you know yet?
I really don't know, John. Having been how I met your wife was as a spokesperson for the military, so we never speculate. And I don't want to speculate on this. I will say every indication to me is I talked to Coach Jones briefly today and have several texts from him. He doesn't know what's going on as of half an hour ago. He doesn't know because they haven't told him yet. And so he decided not to come to Salem and meet me and others today and be with his children and go to their games. You know, he says these men have worked too hard. But do I think this league is good for another 2 weeks? No. Do I think Oregon will play Friday or Saturday? They might if enough teams need opponents and they say, hey, yeah, put us on a plane and pay us money and we'll go. My biggest question that has not been answered is, have the Black Bears been paid? I don't know.
I'm fascinated by this. And look, a lot of times you will see leagues that are trying to stay afloat. It's a week to week or it's a season to season. This one feels like it's hour to hour right now. Mike, the facility at the pavilion, there were complaints from opposing teams about the walls around the field, the air conditioning system, the lighting being too low. I mean, is this just a case where it just doesn't work in that building and that's the only option, or what do you make? You've been in the building.
Yeah, I've been in the building for many reasons, including high school graduations and concerts. So it's a multi-purpose building. It's a nice building, not even 20 years old. It has enough room for an arena, a 50 yards by 35 yard field. It has enough room to put the walls around, you know, the retaining walls with the padding on them. And then you have the walk around area on the outside. The air duct system inside is so low that the punters and the kickers said, well, what do we do? Do we kick it long and into the end zone if we can get it there and then let them run it out? And I said, well, no, just take it off the duct and they take it at the 10, first and 10. That made more sense to me.
Right.
The lighting, it's not so much it's physically low, but it's so low in there. It's kind of like a bad bar, you know, you can't see much. And I mean that in respectful. It wasn't a dive or anything. Can I say one good thing is that, you know, the team puts the turf down. The team brought the turf up. One of the deals they struck was the team would do the putting of the turf and the walls up and down after and before games so they could do other activities at the pavilion because the fairgrounds is busy almost year-round. That was part of it. I watched them do it.
So wait a minute. When you say the team, do you mean the players are putting the turf down? The actual players playing the game?
Players and coaches and anyone that wanted to assist that had a good strong back, and these are some big young men. I saw 6 players put up the goalposts, such as they are, with the netting. They put it together on the field. They raised it up with the help of the state workers who did a lot of that kind of work. But in terms of the actual work, with the state worker there to make sure that they, you know, do the right things, they were their own team, and they did it the day after 2 different games. Had to come back, some of them, don't know how many, maybe half the team of 28 or so, they put the field back together, the turf. John, real quick, go back. Two days before the first game, the pregame season game, I got a call from Chuck. I need to get my stencils. They haven't sent me the stencils for the numbers and the letters for the football field. And I said, well, let me call the school district. Maybe they've got some 10s and 20s and 30s for you. We found him a stencil. He didn't have a yard marker. Well, I'm at university. Let them borrow their football yard markers, brand new. That was how they got that worked out. And the public address guy, who's a good guy, he says, I don't understand. How am I supposed to talk about what's going on? I don't even have a script. I'm not lying.
So how do you, Mike Gallagher is our guest, and Mike, how do you call a game if you don't have the jersey numbers and the roster, or what did you do early on?
Well, we had a very good intern from Oregon State, Lauren, who went out and she got those numbers for us as we're putting all of our Skype and everything technically ready. And we're just two of us doing the broadcast, playing the spots through the commercial, the commercials through the Skype, and then putting it to the station. So we're worrying about that, not thinking they'd have what we needed. She and I ran around and got from two different teams their rosters, hand wrote them down, came back. A friend of mine wrote in bigger letters for him to use, my color announcer, Charlie. And then that's how we kept it. I have a stat sheet that keeps simple stats for football. I kept that. And then I have a friend who also does stats with me on the side. He just loves doing stats on his computer. That's how we sounded like we were in the game. That, and we'd already pre-produced some interviews, pregame, halftime, played them. And, you know, we sounded like we usually do, which isn't bad. It's pretty darn good for a small town. But you had to go out and get what you wanted.
The average salary in the Arena Football League, I'm trying to figure out, you know, how much do these players make? How much are they paid? Do you have a sense on what a typical player in this league on this team is making?
On this team, everyone's a little different. I do not have one breakdown. I did get one player to kind of indicate. He says the league pays us more than the team. The team pays around $250, $300 a game, and then the league pays anywhere from $600 to $900 a game after that. So they get around $1,000 a game. Now, if they've got a contract that pays them more, that's up to that player. One of the things Coach said, he says, we don't talk contracts, we don't talk personal money, we talk football, and we get prepared to beat the team we're going to play on the weekend. So that was never an issue, except now, I'm sure, as you saw, Rapid City said, we're not playing. Billings, great owner, I guess, from everything I've read, he's at least paying his kids, but the league's paying nobody nothing. That's a double negative, but you know, they're not paying what they're supposed to pay. And quite frankly, I'm probably going to be out about $400. So
I know.
I'm okay with that.
I know, but you chalk it up probably as one of those experiences. Did they draw at all? Were fans showing up at the pavilion? What were the crowds like?
I don't know how big that place is inside, but I would say on their pregame against the Washington team, if they played again the following week on their first pregame, it was maybe 40-45% house. That's what my wife and I assumed. And I would say that was probably 500-600, maybe 700 people, but I'll say 500-600. And about 20% or a quarter of those are kids under the age that are non-teenagers. They love these players. Those players treated those kids and those fans like $1 million. And these are good young men. These are educated young men with a goal and a purpose, and it's to play football. They're not a bunch of honyockers that just put on a helmet and go out and make $200 a game. These are good guys. And I feel really bad for them. I feel bad for Coach Chuck Jones and his staff because they're 3-0 and nobody to play.
3-0, nobody to play. I'm trying to look at their roster online. Nobody's listed. It's not listed. I know there's three. I think there was three players from Oregon that were on the team,
there was
right?
A young man from Pineville, the quarterback hailed from Ashland that played at Ottawa, Canada. He was 6'7", 250, and this was probably one of the best quarterbacks in the league, in my personal opinion. And then, of course, we had the running back, Marquise Sampson out of Western Oregon University. Mm-hmm. He was a two-way starter. And then we had kids from everywhere, from Georgia to Missouri, Youngstown State, Dakotas, Texas, Alabama. Good young men chasing the dream.
Man, you keep us posted, Mike. And I appreciate you bringing your wisdom and your firsthand experience on the show, because I think there were a lot of people who didn't know what was going on. And that had to do with the lack of marketing. And I think now that it is going on, it might be collapsing before anybody really knew what was happening. Arena football wobbling, to say the least. Mike Gallagher, KYKN Sports Radio in Salem, and also the longtime broadcaster at Willamette University and others. Mike, thank you for joining us. Appreciate you, man. We'll get you back on.
A real privilege. Thank you, John.
There he goes. Stephen Vaughn, about what we expected.
I'm kind of more intrigued now, you know?
They did. Like, somebody said to me, are you covering the Black Bears? I'm like, who are the Black Bears? And so I had to go look, and I was like, oh, arena football in Oregon? When is this happening? They're like, next week. And I was like, nobody's promoted this?
Well, you asked
haven't
me, like,
seen a word?
Yeah, you're like, are you into arena football? I'm like, like the Forest Dragons back in the day, back in the 90s. I didn't know they had one now.
I knew it was going on, and I knew it was at the fairgrounds, but only because somebody said, can you tell us what's happening? And the very first news that I got was ticket prices were slashed, and kids under like 12 were being admitted free, and you could just tell they were trying to get anybody into the building so that it wasn't empty. But the fact that the players are putting up the field, putting down the turf, erecting the goalposts, and then playing in the games, and this is no reflection on the players, and it's no reflection on the coaching staff. In some cases, there's a reflection about the ownership groups, the ones that aren't paying players. Like, we don't know if the Oregon players are getting paid. But beyond that, the league itself, I've tried to reach out to the league and tried to get some answers today on what is happening. Nobody will call you back. Nobody will return an email. Nobody will return a call. It looks like it is in trouble. The Philadelphia Soul, by the way, of the Arena League, have announced that they are taking a pause for the season. They're going to come back in 2025. So that came out this morning, that no more Soul in Philly. And so this reboot of the Arena League is, at the very least, wobbling. Probably dead for the year, but wobbling. Leave it here. We've already done more promotion of the Arena Football League on today's show than the Arena Football League team or the league itself has done in the state of Oregon. We have promoted it. You know, it does a good job. Nick Krupke over at Fox 12 does a great job of covering the state sports teams. Nick does a great job. I couldn't spit that out the first time. Also, Orlando Sanchez does fantastic work. Joe Becker always is good. I think the TV guys have been tuned into it a little bit. Bob's in Independence. Bob, are you a Black Bears fan? Did we find you?
Yes, I am. I'm a Black Bears fan. I was at the first game.
What's it been like?
What's that?
What has it been like?
It's been a little bit of a roller coaster. I was a season ticket holder for the Thunder when they were there in Portland for the 3 years. I was excited when I heard Arena Ball was coming to Salem. And yeah, like I said, we were there for all three games so far, and just kind of a bummer that things are just not going the way that we'd hoped.
Yeah. Did you get a sense that it was wobbling right away? Did you feel like, oh, this is kind of put together with smoke and mirrors as you walk into the pavilion, or does it take some time?
When you walked in, no. It looked really nice when you walked in. You got once the game started getting going, though, that was when it was a little shaky. I was telling my wife, I said, you know, this has got potential, but it needed some tweaking. I mean, the fact that there were no pads on the walls, they were just using like the stock railing, and they covered those with black cloth. These guys were getting slammed into these things, and it hurt to watch from across the field, let alone, you know, when you were close up.
Yeah, I think, too, it's not ideal to have a venue that's not a real arena, no promotion of it. I appreciate you, Bob, and Independence. Steven, why are you smiling at this?
That was great. That was a great call, because you could tell he was a fan of the team and a fan of the product. He's like, this has potential, but they didn't have walls. Like, it was just like... I loved every second about it. Like, he was a true fan, and he wants to succeed, and he sees all the positives.
I could feel your smile through the headset. You know what I mean? Like, I just knew you had a grin on your face. Thank you, Bob, and Independence. And you're right, because Bob, fan like Bob, wants it to work. He's rooting for it. So much of that in the state of Oregon. So much of that in our audience. Don't lose that. We'll get an update on this league by tomorrow. The Bald-Faced Truth, of course. You can get the podcast wherever you find a podcast. But we're not here for a long time. Just a good time. Kind of like the Arena Football League, as it turns out.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.